Amen. I want to welcome you to Restoration, where I believe God is restoring something intentionally to you today. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. And here in Jeremiah 29, 11, we know this text well, but it's always good to read. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Let's read the next verse. I'm going to go ahead and read this. And it said, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Yeah. And so whatever we know God got a plan for our lives is available to us for the asking. Just because we ask him, just because we seek him, he's willing to reveal to us his plan. I love how Amplified, another version, reads. It's Amplified says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said, O Lord, thoughts of peace and for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." So God got plan for us, deep plan for us, great plan for us. These plans have been established, they are set, and they are sealed. All you got to do is agree with God, and then this plan will be revealed, and he will assist you in carrying out the assignment. God has always been this way. We've read Psalm 139 again and again. In our February fasting, I already got the scripture set aside. I'm going to ask you to be reading Psalm 139, because it's important to read there. And verse 13 reads there in Psalm 139. It talked about how God was shaping us in our mother's womb. It actually says in the womb. It's so important. But it goes on to say in verse 16, "All the days of my life was written in his book before any of my days ever got started." So we talk about a definite plan, a finished plan, that everything about your life was written before your life ever got started. When Jeremiah was struggling to prophesy to grown folks because of his young age, God had to remind him, said, "Don't look first at their faces." Secondly, he said, "You need to remember, before you was formed in your mother's womb, I had already ordained you as a prophet to the nation." It's already done. It's already done. It's already set up. So what you're dreaming about becoming in the mind of God is already there. All you got to do is make sure you align your dream with the dream he has for you. And the only way you're going to know that is seek him about the dream. Yeah. I heard it been said in the lifestyle this morning. They tell you, go to God. Ask the Lord, seek his face, get his mind, because we all are human. So we have the capacity to think like God thinks. We're made in his image. So you actually have the capacity to come up with ideas. So you got to make sure the idea you're coming up aligned with the idea he already had. So the Bible tells us in Proverbs 5, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Some versions say, "Don't lean on your own opinion." We all got opinion. You made it. Part of being made in the image of God is the capacity to be creative. It's the capacity to think it through yourself. God gave you that. But he's trusting you to rely on him to help you. If you do that, you always get there. You'll never get off course. You always get to the right place. In this lesson, now we talk about being determined. We have found out that from Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 31, that God foreknew us. Ahead of time, he planned our lives. He foreordained us. He called us. He justified us. He's acquitted us and made us righteous. And then he's also glorified us. That is, God has brought us to the fullness of the beauty. You know, I don't know, you had to go to your, who was it? Was it your Facebook, Cooper, or Teresa? Teresa was at a, you all was at a butterfly. Oh, yeah. What was this place called y'all went to?
Butterfly Conservatory.
Okay, Butterfly Conservatory. But she was just on her phone, and then somebody put it in slow motion. It went in slow motion, and it looked like she was under attack by a young monster flying through the air. And it was a giant butterfly. And then when you think about that, this butterfly represents a lot, because before it started flying, it crawled on the ground. It was a caterpillar. Nothing that it became looked like what it was. It crawled on the ground with thousands of feet. And then it flew around and stopped, went up on a tree, balled up into a cocoon. Stayed there unnoticed, unseen, and unheard for a while. And that's what happened. Many of you are now. You passed the caterpillar stage, but God still got you in the cocoon. Seems like nobody sees you, but God does, because he's making you, he's shaping you. And then at a certain point, you start to break out the cocoon. And all of a sudden, you got something you didn't have before, wings to fly. And for the first time, new birth almost, you come out flying around. And that's what God wants you to know. Your next phase is your flight phase. You're getting ready to fly high. You're getting ready to be lifted up. You're getting ready to be taken to that place you've been dreaming of. Amen. Just like the butterfly, something changing in your life to make you better. And you got to be trusting that. And so you got to be determined. If God got a plan for me, and this plan was written before I was born, I got to trust that. And therefore, the Bible says, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. When your ways, what the Passion Translation says, when your ways please the Lord, when God is satisfied and pleased with how you live your life, he orders your every step. So even if you fall, you won't altogether fail, because he will uphold you with his hand. So it doesn't matter if you've been through a lot, and the devil will try to tell you you can't get no further because of what you've been through. You got to say, no, I've been through, but God is not through with me. And since he's not through with me, God will work things out for your good. So today, let's begin to look at now walking to this place of determination, setting my focus to go higher and higher in him. So we got to make God's purpose. I want you to do this year. Make finding your purpose your highest priority. What am I here to do? And not just prolong for the end of my destiny to do, but what am I to do right now? Because purpose is ongoing. Your life today has a purpose. There's a purpose for you being here today. So what is my purpose in every moment of my life, so that I don't have a life, live a life that's not purposeful? And that's how you can do it. So let's look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3, we already know this verse, these chapters really good. That's why next month I got you reading this one, because it's so important to get this deep in your spirit. Where Paul, one of the great ones, who was off course, going in the wrong direction, Jesus had to snatch or apprehend his attention. On the road to Damascus, where he has gotten permission, the religious approval, to go get chains. Think about this. To chain up men and women. Come to folks' house, bust in their house, grab them with chains, all because they believed in Jesus as their Savior. Chain them up and drag them back to Jerusalem to be prosecuted. In some case, killed. And he was happy with that. But Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. The Bible said a bright light shined about him, and Paul realized then something is happening is way over my head. And he hollered out after he heard a voice that said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Because he knew this has to be a Lord here. And Jesus said, it is Jesus whom you are persecuting. The Message Bible says, me, Jesus, who you are molesting. Because the persecution means to molest, to hurt, to damage, to wound. He wasn't actually touching Jesus physically, but he was touching those that Jesus loved. So Jesus take what happened to you personally as if it's happening to him. And so he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? The $100 million question is that question. Lord, what would you have me to do? And he said, go into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do, which tells you God will be using others to help you. You won't necessarily find it all out by yourself. Some things he's going to tell you directly, but he will always have confirmed what he told you, confirmed in your life by others. And it's good when you can get confirmation, because that helps you from being led by your own mind or the devil. If you've been living long enough in Christ, you know how easy it is for the devil to tell you something. It'll take you a few minutes or a few days to realize that wasn't God. And the devil always tell you something that you like. He's going to say something to you that you like or you want to do anyway. He doesn't mind mimicking God. The Bible called them ministers of Satan who have no problem pretending to be ministers of light. There's a wolf that don't mind pretending to be a sheep. And the devil will give you prophecy, personal ones. He'll talk to you. And you'll think you heard from God. But if the Bible can't confirm it and people from God that have no ulterior motives can't confirm it, you need to know, don't you confirm it either. Because it's not worth taking your life down a path on an unconfirmed word. And you'll be like, well they say it ain't God. Well, then you need to check it out then. I was you. If somebody that's trustworthy says that, I don't know if that God or not, I go back to God. Because if he's God, if he told you that, if he meant it, he's able to confirm it. But if you're scared to go back to God, then you may be holding on to something you know deep inside. You already know it's a lie. So why would you lie to yourself to hold on to a lie, knowing that it's going to lead you somewhere you don't want to be? But that's how it really works. I remember we talked about the Kansas City Chief. Well, I had to go to school. Military officers, you know, at some point you had to go to school in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. So I had to go to school out there. I had to be out there a while. And they got this Missouri River that run down through, right by the post, run all through the city of Kansas City and all that. Now, the post is about an hour away, but the river just run through it all. And I would go up on the riverside and just sit out there, meditate, pray, and praise God. And I can remember the devil would just give me word. How you say it was the devil? Because of what the word said. They were all good. But they were just too good. They were magnanimous. It was like, you're going to be this all. I mean, like, oh, yeah. I'd be out there just crying away till I get the word checked. It didn't match up. And I could have defended him. But why would I? Why would I? Don't go over well with my wife. Don't go over well with the people I trust. Or don't really align with the Bible. God ain't never used nobody like that. Why would I want to hold on to that? And that's when I learned this thing called the other voice. There's a lying voice that's trying to speak to all of us. How many of you heard that voice before? Come on, talk to me. See, if you're going to walk this thing out, you got to be aware of that. Satan has the capacity to interject thoughts into your mind. Why does the Bible, you think, tell you, casting down imagination and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and bringing every one of them into obedience to the obedience of Christ? It's spiritual warfare. You know, it's called psychological warfare. We employed as the military. You know, you ever heard about a wartime they used to drop leaflet over, they'll fly over a whole city and just drop leaflet. And leaflet would be like, turn your leader in, y'all need to surrender. That's trying to get in their head. To tell them, the war is over, we have defeated you all, your leaders are lying to you. That's to get into the people here. If they listen to that, they have fallen for psychological warfare. So the devil uses it all the time. And you got to be aware. That's why every thought, how many thoughts? You got to bring every thought to include the good ones. See, when people think, when they say catching every thought, they think it's the bad thoughts. It's not just the bad one. The devil used to throw you off course with a good thought. The devil already know you know a bad thought ain't going to be God. But sometimes it's the good ones. Wasn't that Peter thought he had a good thought? When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And some say you're Elijah. Some say you're that prophet. And Jesus said, well, who do you say? And then Peter gets the anointing. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you are Peter. And you didn't get that from flesh and blood, but the Father revealed that to you. And you're going to now be a rock, a little piece of the rock. A few minutes later, Jesus said, now, gentlemen, y'all got the revelation of who I am. You need to know I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. Then the same Peter, hear another thought. And he said, not so, Lord. It was a good thought to him. There ain't no way Jesus is going to go be crucified. And Jesus quickly said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he said, now you have entertained a thought that's not from the Father. It was just that fast. sounded similar. Satan don't have a problem imitating God, but God will never imitate him. So when you're going to be determined, make sure you're also determined that if I got a word from God, it's all right for it to be judged. In fact, I want it judged because I hate wasting time. As Paul said, I don't want to have ran my life and have ran in the wrong direction. Somebody wrote this some years ago. I don't know who the author of it was. So be sure that when you climb your ladder, that it's leaning on the right building. Because you wouldn't want to have get your ladder, climb all the way to the top just to realize you lean your ladder on the wrong building. So lean your ladder on the right building. Zone in to the right place. So let's look at zoning in. Take your neighbor, zoning in. First, let's ask God. Say this over, Father, what would you have me to do? You got to know, when you pray that sincerely, reveal to me, show me, teach me, guide me, he's going to do it. So the Bible tells us now to make purpose our primary focus, to arrest it, working forward to your destiny as a continual goal for your life. Every year become a year to say, what would you want me to do this year in Jesus' name? Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Bring up for me, please, verse number 12. All right, verse number 12, and we'll read 12 through 14. Philippians 3. Verse number 12, it says what there now? Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after or I seek after, if that I may apprehend that for which. Apprehend what? That for which. What is that for which? That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, Jesus put his hand on me for a reason. Now I'm going to pursue what he pursued for me. He came to find you. He found you in many different spots, different stages of your life. Jesus came and found you. He found me. Now we got to say, what did he put his hand on me for? Why did he come and say, pick me? You know, when we was little, how many of you was little? Y'all used to play basketball and stuff in the community. And people had to pick teams. And you, this guy and this guy may be picking. Sometimes you're the one picking, but this time they are picking. And so when they're picking, you know, especially with basketball, they're going to look for the taller guys first. Joke, some of them can't even play no ball. After a while, they learn that. After a while, first they pick this and this, then you be still standing over there. Then they realize when somebody else picks you later, you wear their tails out. They learn to, let me not just pick anybody. Let me pick people for particular reasons. Out of all your friends at the time you got saved, Jesus came to snatch you. And you pulled away from them. They want to, what's wrong with you? God put his hands on me. You got to answer the question of why did he do it? Why did he do it? For an investment he made in you before you was born. The Bible says, whom he foreknew, he also called or called out. And whom he called, he also justified. So he worked out all your issues and cleaned up all your life and forgave all your sin so you could stand righteous before him. And because he justified you, he also glorified you. He picked you as a caterpillar, but he gave you your wings as a butterfly. And God already see you flying around, though you might still be just crawling around. Now the Bible said, then I press toward the mark. He said what? I apprehend that for which Christ Jesus apprehended me. This is the Paul who was arresting people to take them to jail. But he said, Jesus came and apprehended me. That word means to arrest. When the cops arrest somebody, officially say they apprehended them. They took a hold of them. And Paul said, Jesus arrested me on the road to Damascus, and he arrested me to be an apostle, to be a teacher, to be a dispenser of his wisdom, and now I'm going to arrest that. And he spent the rest of his life arresting the call. And many of you have started arresting the call, but you're drifting back from arresting. You're not arrested at all yet. You got some of it on arrest, but others you let still run around in your life. You got to take a hold of it. You got to take hold of it. You got to grab it. You got to run with it. Live in the name first. Verse 13 said, but this one thing I do. I haven't got it all yet. I haven't arrested it all yet. But this one thing I do. I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. My Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. And you got to get serious and press. Tell your neighbor, press. This is a very important word, press, here, that is used. It's given for a particular reason. Let's look at some Bible. Give me Ephesians chapter 5, please, verse number 14. We're going to look at the King James Version. Then I'm going to come back and read portions of this in the Passion Translation. But Ephesians 5:14 in the King James Version. This Bible here talks to us about getting serious here. Wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Or you really could say, become alert to God, and he will show you light or show you your purpose. This is written to believers. It's not just about getting saved. These are people already saved. So you're saved, but wake up. Stir up. Light up the light that's on the inside of you. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. Is it possible for a Christian to be born again and still walk as a fool? It must be, because it's written. He said, then walk purposefully. That's what he said. Don't walk like a fool. Walk like a purposeful person. That every day of your life, everything you do is for a reason. Walk purposefully. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Boy, if nobody know that, we know that in this generation. If nobody else know about evil days, well, we live in some real, real evil times. It's nasty evil out there now. It's bad. It's really bad. And it's going to get worse. That's the thing about it. So we really got to home in. So he says, seize the day. Seize the moments that you have. Every moment give you an opportunity. When you see the opportunity, seize it. Don't miss it. Seize it. You know, some of you was in a place where you had a chance, I can go back to school. Then what? You did it. You seized the moment. You met the right person where you can choose around. I'm going to dog this person. I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and seize. I'm going to grab them. I'm going to go marry you. Now, we're always picking, talking about me going to D.C., to women 10 to 1 and all that. But when God brought me to where he wanted me to, when we went home last week, First Lady and I was talking about that. I said, yeah, I wanted to go to D.C. Women was 10 to 1. I'm trying to increase my potential. Are you hearing my chances? Because really, I told her the reason why I was in that mode, because of where I had been. My assignment prior to that, White Sand Mesa Range, New Mexico. It was a great military assignment. Y'all know where El Paso, Texas is? Juarez, the big monster today, Juarez, Mexico. White Sand's about 30 miles out from that in the middle of the desert. They practice missiles out there. It's a missile range. Near a memorial park called White Sands. Oh, snow. It ain't snow. It's really a gypsum. But this place, people drive out hour, 2 hour tour. I was living out there. The second space shuttle landed there. I was being part of that. Show you what I was living at. So I was already saved. Therefore, your range of women to be married to is limited, because they got to be saved. So there's a lot, the women are there. Majority of them not saved. So they're already off the map. They're off the map. Then some of them there, they already met. Off the map. So I had been there. Prior to that, I was in Sinop, Turkey. A specialized military assignment for 1 year. God sent me there. What's so significant about that? Because the Bible, the New Testament, that the letters Paul writes, the seven churches of Asia that John saw, they all in Turkey. I didn't know until I got to Turkey. So I was there on a gospel assignment through the military. That's where I learned a lot. I got to go to Israel there. I got to go to Egypt there. I went to the pyramid, all part of that assignment. But a wife? At one point, I was the only black officer on the whole post, and I was a lieutenant. So were the women there? Yeah, there were women there, but our commander had a no fraternization policy. So I was the only black officer. There was two women there, they were white lady, but they were both majors. They weren't gonna fool with no lieutenant. They smiled at me a couple of times. like you're a lieutenant. Like, I'm not gonna get in trouble fooling with you. So my opportunity was down. I couldn't go into the Turkish village. It was all Muslim. I was a Christian, so they got to be born again. So what's my choice? None. And so when I come back here, I go to school, and when I get through school, they put me on orders. And in fact, I wasn't in Turkey yet. They sent me on orders to Turkey. And here's what the thing. They sent me there with assignment already back to Fort Gordon. Where God wanted me, he sent me there with orders back. But when I got there, I got to talking to guys. And they're like, I don't even want to go back to Fort Gordon. I've been to Augusta before. I didn't find a wife there before. Probably won't find one now. Because I was going to church in Augusta, but I was going to the holiness churches. I mean, I'm talking about. And I mean, a lot of churches do that now, but back then, nobody did it. And so I didn't even go to the denominational churches. They weren't living to like God enough. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to have them saved, sanctified, and filled. So none of y'all been through nothing like that. Y'all only me, I'm the only person been through that. But that's what it was. And therefore, my options were again limited. Because by the time you get to church, most of the women, they're married. God snatch up Christian women like that. Back in the day, you know, today they different. You know, I don't know what they'd be doing today. But back in the day, if a single Christian was single, she was gone. Joke would be, because of like, it used to be like seven men to one woman. And the women knew it, and they knew how they rode that cow. So when I heard that in D.C. it was 10 women to one man, what? How many? 10? One. And then some guy's not going to want their 10. So I was like 50 to one. Some guy won't want their 10. They didn't want a woman. So like, I'll take yours. And so I'm probably 20 to 30 to one. But then again, they have to be saved. So my window was, again, limited because you got to be saved already. Can't trust getting them saved. That may or may not work. So I said to God, God, I can't marry anybody. I got to be a Christian girl. Then he said, oh, man, plenty of Christians there. I said, this can't be no Christian. I want somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, somebody going for God. I want somebody serious for God because one day I'm going to be a preacher. I was not a preacher then, but one day. I'm going to be a preacher for real. One day I'm really going to be a pastor, and I got to know whoever this is got to be ready. Oh, it's all, man, the church today, they got all kinds of churches. They told me the churches would rock on Sunday morning. So you ride down the street, the building would be shaking. Like, and above my eyes, I was like, oh, I got to go there. Because y'all got to remember, I got saved in Germany. And it was the Kojic Church of God in Christ, and we had like 15 or 20 little bitty churches. All in a little town. So, you know, it was like, so your options was really small. And so when I heard about women that loved God, that wanted all God had for them, and there was plenty of them, I called Branch and I got on assignment to D.C. They gave me orders. I thought God did it. I thought God worked it all out. Goes to show you, everything that work out ain't necessarily God. I thought God did it. I was telling me, look what the Lord has done. And I told him, since I'm asking, I want y'all to give me the school. And they gave me the school. I went there and I matched it. I said, it got to be God. I got introduced to other men of God I had not known before. I was like, wow. I was going to Kenny Copeland conferences. He was in Fort Worth. I'm over there in Oklahoma. I could ride it like, wow, I'm in it. Wow, look at what the Lord is doing. And this man let me drive all the way to D.C., get all the way there, just to tell me I was out of his will. I heard from God that day. Loud and clear, you are out of my will. And you know what? When I finally got my tail in his will to come back to Augusta, my wife was already here. Yeah. Just at the place I said I would never find a wife. Uh-huh. Then I thought about it last week after I left church. I said, God had me set up from the beginning. When I went there, my orders had me coming back. I changed them. Be careful before you change anything. That God is in it. Are you with me? Because it sure looked like God. But then I learned to get serious. Are you with me? So this Bible, this scripture say what? Get serious. Redeem the time. Seize the moment. And that's what I'm saying. When I finally found her, I seized that moment. So this is it. I went and got my little list out. I had written a list when I was in White Sand Missile Range. So it was several years later. But I went and found my list. I pulled it out. I've written on a list everything I wanted in a wife. But right beside it, I wrote everything I thought I'd bring to a wife. I had improved myself. I've gotten even better. And then as I met Benita, because Dr. Price said, if you ask God, if God answers your prayer, you're going to get everything you want and maybe something else. But if you don't have what's on your list, be sure it's God. That's what he said. She was everything on my list, plus the stuff I wouldn't dare to fix my mouth to ask for because I didn't think I was worthy to have it because how I lived when I was a sinner. And God gave me that too. Yeah, go ahead and just give God some praise for me right now. Just give, if I praise you for him.
Hallelujah.
Because when you seize the moment, and that's what God wanted me to tell some of y'all, your moment is just around the corner. When you see it, seize it. Seize the day. Go to verse 17. It says, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In essence, know God's purpose for your life and know your destinies. You got to know. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In essence, don't be wasteful with your life. You know, back in the day, we didn't have social media. How many of y'all can remember the day without social media? I remember when we started this church, the youth started playing a thing called MySpace. Y'all remember MySpace? I didn't know what the heck it really was. And they was like, well, should the youth be? I don't know. Y'all look into that. I don't know about the MySpace. My kids got it. I looked at it. It was just kids sending something back to kids. But then it turned out later on, it's Facebook, it's Snapchat today, and Instagram, and you name it, TikTok. And now they're banning TikTok across the country because the Chinese government own it. And they believe they are using it as psychological input to our country to get all of y'all identity from you. And to be able to control you or use something against you. So that's why they're banning it. But just think, back then we have all these things where we could waste our time on.
Come on, Pastor.
That don't mean it's all wasteful. I want people to know. I'm not putting it all down. I'm just saying be careful that you don't spend so much time just watching other people's lives that you're not doing nothing with your own life. Rick Godwin, one of my pastors who, you know, we still have a strong relationship, one of the things he always was teaching said, you got to be watchful because we live in a society of watchers. Yeah. We go to game, watch other people play. Are you hearing me? We're getting TV to watch other people doing. We go to the movie to watch other people act, and we'll never in the arena ourselves.
Come on.
At some point, you got to get in the arena. And not just watch everybody else's life. And that's the thing about social media. People are going to only show you their best side. Because you can click that. You can take that down. I finally learned how to take a tweet or something you put out there and mess it up. You can take it back down and edit it and get it right. You know, because before, a misspelled word, because a machine changed the word for you, you felt you were stuck with it. But you can go out and take that thing down, change it, and put it right back. And some of you need to edit your life. Let's go. Bring them. So he said, now, don't be wasteful, wasting time. You can enjoy certain things, but be sure those things don't get you off focus. Those things don't keep you from staying on target with what you are purposing to do. All right? So chilling out even. There's a time to chill. There's a time of the season for everything. But don't be spending all your time chilling out and not working out. Give verse 19. He says, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's spend time praying, spend time praising God. It's really, really important for your life. Let's read, I want to read this scripture from, give me the Passion Translation, verse number 15 through 17. Put that on the screen. I love how the Passion brings this, all right? Put it up from a video. It said, so be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. For we are living in evil time. Take full advantage of how many days? Every day, as you spend your life for His, God, purposes. And don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. You see, if you don't live foolishly, if you stay purposefully, you're going to understand what God's will is. Amen. It's going to come to you. It's going to come to you. He's going to reveal it. So how do we do it? You got to stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. How do we do it? By pressing. Four ways to press. Number one, determination. The subject that we're on right now. That is, the will, have the will to complete the plan of God without quitting, without fainting, or without lowering the standard. The devil is not going to let you focus on God's will without trying to attack you in some way. And so when they attack you, don't let the attack cause you to scale back. Amen. Be determined that what God said, He meant. And when He meant it, He's going to do it. If you stay with God, you stay on target, He's going to work it out. Secondly, focus. That is the meticulous ability to stay on track with God's plan for your life without being distracted, without being misguided, without being led astray. Distraction is one of the tools of spiritual warfare. It's part of the mind games that Satan plays. When the Bible said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, that word there means the mind games he plays. Or you could say it that way, the limiting thoughts that come to your mind. Thoughts that limits you. Thoughts that, although God says this about you, you down here because of a limiting thought. God never gives a limiting thought to you because He's an unlimited God. God does exceedingly abundantly above all you can think, all you can ask, all you can dream. So if He goes above what you can dream, but your thoughts are limited to even what you can dream, He didn't give you that thought. And the Bible called those Satan devices, mind games, confusion of the mind, and limitation on your life. Because the devil wants us all to feel that we can't do what God called us to do. You can look at somebody and say, she can do it. He can do it. Maybe he can do it. Maybe that guy in California can do it. The guy in Chicago can do it. But little old me, if God called you, it's in you. Gideon didn't think he could leave an army, but God said, you are a mighty man of valor. But I'm the least in my family. My family is the least in the nation. Our nation is least among the world. And he said, but you are a mighty man of valor. And when the Lord is with you, He's anointing you to be more than you think you can be. So you got to be able to get a big head about the fact that if God said it, I can do it. Because I can what? Philippians 3, 317, 312, whatever it is. I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. Oh, what is that? That's 213, I think it is. Huh? Is it four things? Somebody get it so we can have it right. I'm putting out information. I got to give the folk the right stuff. Somebody look that up so we get that right. So here's some of the ways that you can focus. These things that help you focus. Number one, prayer. Develop a prayer life that keeps you from fainting. Number two, purpose. Know what it is God wants you to do. And do it and be not distracted by what other people are doing. See, what you got to do is be satisfied with what God called you to do. Because as you live your life, He's calling your friends, your relatives, people you see online, people you see on TV. They're doing something else. So don't look over at what they do and get distracted by them. Don't put them down. That's what He called them to do. Amen. Cheer them on. The Bible said, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who are weeping. But don't look at them and go, oh, why did He have me doing that? I like how they do theirs. But if He told you particularly what to do, you stay with what He told you. And be happy. God made the frog. God made the dog. God made the cat. God made the lion. God made you. And all of them are different, but He made them all, and He gave them all a particular purpose, and He made them differently for a reason. When it comes to humans, He made male and female, and that's it. But every male is different. Every female is different. and you are uniquely you. Yeah. And you got to learn to accept your uniqueness and bring that out. Because what somebody else may look at and discount is what God's going to use and elevate. Are you with me? And the world needs your uniqueness. But it's hard to bring out uniqueness when you don't appreciate what God did for you. You got to just look in the mirror and say, God, thank you for making me me. The world, I come to realize that. The world needs me. Whether they know it or not, they want me. And like it or not, you're going to get me. Are you hearing me? You're going to get me anyway. I was born for the whole world. I was born. My mouth was meant to be heard. And they picked at me when I was young about my voice. It was too light. It was too this. It was too that. Too loud. Everywhere. One place I'm too loud. Another place you ain't loud enough. But this is the voice that dispenses the wisdom of God. And your voice is what it is too. And so, don't think America coming out took me a while to get here. Just accept just how I am. I go to Wendy's now. I go like, and I'm making all the single, my wife on a single like, yes, ma'am. See, they might say ma'am. Because their grandmama got a harder voice than mine. I ain't going to keep saying I'm not a man. I ain't going to keep answering. I'm going to get the women and pay. Come on. Flip it. This is the voice. Joyce Meyer said that you don't think she was a man, her voice. God using her. He's using me too. Are you with me? God saw something about the frequency and my voice. At the freak I speak, revelation come in. Are you hearing me? It's the frequency, y'all. And the devil knows this voice. Come out! Woo! In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And he will respond to my voice. Look at somebody and say, he gonna respond to mine too. So you got prayer, you got purpose. Tell your neighbor passion. Love and desire what God has called you and equipped you to do. Find out what you're equipped to do and do that well. Some he gave two things. Some he gave one. Some he gave five. According to his ability that he put in you. You're only responsible for what he gave you. Number four, persistent. Be persistent, consistently, unmovable and pleasing God. Number five, protection. Watch for your soul. When I say protect, have principles of righteousness. You got to protect yourself. The devil would like to set you up today to trip you up later. Because he knows God got something for you. So he'll like to get you in all kind of crazy sin. Got to get you to do stuff that hurt your body. Want you smoking, drinking. All that is not for you to have fun. He's trying to damage your liver so he can take you out of 50. Are you hearing? So protect yourself. Protect your mind. Protect your body. Protect your life. Protect your character. You see what happened to the politician? What happened? And the man may be the president or whatever. And Satan will try to find something in their character from years ago to trip you up. So if you got any child you think going to go into politics, tell them right now, we're going to not let you go do certain things because it may come back on you later. And especially, don't you tweet all the craziness that's in your head. It stays out there. I mean, you know, y'all in worse shape than us. We said some things back in the day. It didn't stay nowhere. But that stuff you put online now, somebody go find it. I'm telling you, they'll go find it. And so protect yourself, all right? Praise God. Praise God. Woo, Jesus, y'all got number six. So you get, when I say that part is watch for your soul. So you got to watch that mind. You got to guard your mind. You got to guard your thinking. And anytime something is happening, you start getting depressed or start feeling that you can't do it, that means my thinking is being attacked somewhere. So you got to protect it. Number six, possess your vessel. The Bible said, bring your body under. Beat it down like a fighter beat his down. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Make every one of your members submit to God. Because, you know, you can't smoke unless your hand hold a joint. And your mouth, pull it. Oh, you say, I ain't got to hold it either. I get a bong. Then you got to hold that bong or somebody else got to hold it. Don't put it, don't sniff. Leave the room. Because boy, you do it with a bone, you can get higher than you think. I mean, they got it today where guys put on masks. They put on masks, tied to a bung, and suck up marijuana and stuff. And marijuana today is not marijuana like it used to be. You used to smoke marijuana. Now it's marijuana with a little garner up in it. It got all kind of mess in it. And this stuff is causing people to lose their minds. And you don't get their minds back. It takes years to get your mind back. Don't do it. Don't do it because, well, I may not be where I'm supposed to be yet, but I know I'm going there. See how these kids playing college ball? Some of them know they're going to the pros. So they have to watch themselves now. Sometimes you already know I'm not there yet, but I know I'm going there. So I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to possess my body. And then number seven, pursue the will of God. Go after his will. Ask him. He'll reveal. Then pursue. We got two more things. So I don't have enough time to teach you today. Okay, so these four things critical to press. Number one, determination. Number two, focus. Next week, we'll pick on number three and number four. And then I'm going to give you some points that I believe will help you to go all the way there. And then we'll start talking about the different ways that I can find my destiny. Why would God give us a destiny and not give us ways to find it out? He would not. And so God has laid out in his word various ways, because people learn differently, people gain insight differently, people's eyes come over from different angles, and God knows this very well. And therefore, he's given us several different ways to find out the critical things that they have for your life. One or more of them will work for you. I know the ones that work well for me. I use a little bit of all of them, but some of them become like those of my cornbread and milk. Those really, really always get. And my wife reminded me, back in the 80s, do you know back in the 80s, God gave us word for the time we're living in now. I got more prophecies than the average person back then. I mean, everywhere, if there was a meeting, hell, if I was in that room, for whatever reason, I'll be called out. I mean, men of God and women of God would sit there sometimes 10, 15 minutes of giving us words. We got them all recaptured. I got them typed up. I got them in books. I got them on my iPad. I got them on my phone. I pull them up and I listen to them. And I thought back then they were full then. But when I go back and listen to them, I can now with wisdom today, I realize ain't no way they could have been for then because of what God was saying. He had to take the time to take the caterpillar, get him through the cocoon, to be ready to fly. Yeah. And so God got to work on you too. Yeah. And so are you willing now? So you can wait till next year if you want. He's willing to wait. Time don't mean nothing to God. But I want to leave this lesson with you. The children of Israel was brought out of Egypt to go into the promised land. They could have got there in less than 40 days. Many believe it only took 21 days. Some say it wasn't but an 11-day journey. I really don't know. I don't think they really know either. But we know for sure, 40 days, they could have been from Egypt all the way into the promised land. They're still going to have to take down those armies, but they would have crossed the Jordan River. But because they would not align themselves with God's purpose, and because they would not focus on what God has said, and because they leaned back to their own understanding, God allowed them to go around the wilderness for 40 years to get them to where he could have got them to in the first couple of months. That's a pattern that he'll let you go around the circle. And he's willing to do it until you learn. See, God is not like the American school, where if you can't pass the grade, he ain't pushing you up to the next grade because you're older. He'll keep you in the third grade and you'll be 25. So until you can pass the third grade, you're not going to the fourth. See, you grew up in school. They just move you on. You're too big. Like, she's too big. Get him, move out. He's too big. Get him out of here. And so they may let you hang around about 21 sometime, but most time now at 18, like, just get them out of school. Give them the diploma. Let them, they'll figure it out through life. God doesn't do that. Back around the corner. Back around the circle. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you live around? You don't went around the circle a couple of times. You realize this man don't play. It's almost like your grandmama and your mama they tell you to do something, if you want to go out, you're going to go rake that yard or clean that room, and you don't do it thinking when your friends come blow the horn, hey, I got to go, like, that room clean. And they go peek in it. Then you ain't going nowhere. And made you stay there. If you're really good, you can do a quick job if they will accept it. Sometimes it'll be like, the room ain't clean. You ain't going nowhere. You won't go tell your friends. You ain't coming. I'll go tell them. You ain't want them to tell them. Like, don't you tell them. Don't you tell them, because they're going to jank me at school all next week. I'll go out and make something up. Oh, man, I hurt my knee. I got the limp. Man, I hurt my leg. I ain't going to be able to make it, all right? Y'all know the deal. Come on, y'all. How many of you did stuff like that? So I was raised by my grandma, and she just didn't play. They call her Miss Sugar, but the community name was Sheriff Sugar. Sugar, Sheriff. Sheriff, Sheriff. That don't match. She was more the sheriff than the sugar. She was sugar to them, sheriffs to us. And so once I learned that, they're like, okay, she said, do this, though, you just do it. So I learned, just do it. Just going to get it out the way. And come to find out, when you do it and you do it early and do it right, she even paid you. Like, wow, Lord have mercy. So I kept the yard ready. I kept things going. Come on. While you get ready to go, I said, oh, here, boy, hold on a minute. I'm going to give you some money. So when you're going to do what God is asking you to do, he rewards you. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, this year I'm not going around the mountain. I'm going to go across the river. Time to put the priest with the ark in the middle of the Jordan River so that baby will dry up and come across on dry ground. Father, we praise you. Father, we worship you. Father, we thank you. Help us this year to be focused. Help us to be determined. Help us to get away from anything that's distracting us. Help us to pull away anything that's dragging us down. Help us not to be wasteful, but to be focused, to be determined. And we know because we ask you for help, you're going to help us. So thank you for the people that you're going to raise up to help us. We receive them and we respect them. We're not going to repel them. We're going to allow them to speak into our lives. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.